I've been several times before, but it's actually the first chance that I've had to go and have a good look around and see all of the other social services that are being provided here. So even things like Hepotamarangatahi and seeing what's happening there, looking at some of the stuff that's happening around restorative justice, visited the food bank, visited the driver's licensing. There's an amazing, you know, group of activities that are all happening here.
It's a neat opportunity for you. You know, the pressure situation of being the head of our land, and now that the government has changed, cyclical change, I like to think, you're pushing to get back in, obviously. But what impressed me most about you in the last term was yours and Jacinda's commitment to advancing Māori causes, and it feels as though we've been pushed back by this new coalition arrangement. What are you most proud about as far as that Māori initiative during the time that you were Prime Minister?
Yeah, there's actually a lot to be proud of. But I mean, if I dial it back even further, you know, in my lifetime, across successive governments, we've managed to move forward when it comes to issues around Māori and when it comes to the relationship between Māori and non-Māori. And it feels like for the first time in the 45 years that I have been on this earth, that we're actually going backwards in that regard. And that is a new thing. You know, we haven't always made the degree of progress we'd like to make, but we have at least been pointing in the right direction for most of the time. So debates around things like co-governance, they're not new. They've been around for a long time. You know, I've talked about it before, but, you know, my local park where I grew up, Te Whiti Park, just across from the from Te Ati Awa, there was a treaty claim around that. The result of the treaty claim was a co-governance arrangement. The park's never been better maintained than it is now. There's never been more kids playing on it than there are now. And co-governance has delivered that. There's nothing to be scared of from that. And so it feels like this sort of divisive debate around things like co-governance is actually taking us backwards, when we've demonstrated over the last 40 or 50 years that we don't need to be afraid of doing things differently. We can actually lead the country forward. So you know, I look back on the work that we were doing. I'm really proud.
Did it cost you the election, though? Well, the pro-Māori stance. There's a lot of redneck New Zealanders who arced up. Did it cost you that?
Some of it certainly created the conditions for a bit of a backlash. Some of it not. So, like, I think history in schools, I actually think the country's embraced that. I think the fact that we're teaching Aotearoa New Zealand's histories in schools, I think by and large people are okay with that. There was a lot of debate, you know, 10 years ago about compulsory Te Reo Māori in schools. Well, schools have just gone ahead and done it anyway, without necessarily being told they have to do it. My kids are at a predominantly Pākehā school, but they are learning the basics of Te Reo Māori as part of their education, and no one questions it. It's a great thing. So, you know, those are areas where I think we've just, as a country, just made progress, and the next generation's attitude towards these issues is going to be vastly different to the attitude that we see from some older New Zealanders. And so I don't think that this kind of current setback that we've got is going to last. I think it's a temporary blip on the journey. But yeah, I think in terms of the backlash that we saw, co-governance and the misinformation about that certainly got a group of people very active. And then you combine that with things like the anti-vax movement and, you know, all sorts of, and the cost of living crisis. And there were a lot of really angry people out there during the election. And the sad news is that since the election, they're still angry, because even though there's been a change of government, the things that made them angry haven't gone away.
Is Takawhi, what is this, the shutting down Takawhi, is it like a kick in the guts?
Well, it's just a wasted opportunity. You know, I think one of the things that we have to accept as a government is that we don't necessarily have all of the answers to every challenge or every problem that the country's got. And one of our jobs is to empower the people who do. So there's nothing to be afraid of from a bi-Māori, for-Māori approach to healthcare. And here's my pick. You know, when we're back in government, we're still committed to that approach. And I think if we can get that up and running, then actually non-Māori are going to be demanding something similar, because they're going to be looking at the more holistic way that our Māori health providers think about healthcare. And they're going to be saying, why can't we have that as well? So the very old-fashioned way we think about health has to change. And I actually think our Māori health providers are at the forefront of changing it, because they're taking a much more holistic approach to health and well-being.
Hobson's Pledge gets another run. The stymie ambition to establish Māori wards again for Māori feels, you know, one step forward, two backwards.
Yeah, and I think the sad thing, again, misinformation has informed a lot of that, because Māori wards does not give Māori a disproportionate share of the vote. They still only get the same number of votes as in everybody else. So the fact that you have, whether you vote in a Māori ward or a general ward. And the thing that frustrates me is actually the law change we made stopped the discrimination against Māori wards. So by saying that if you establish a Māori ward, it has to go to a referendum, we don't have that same rule if you're establishing a general ward. That doesn't have to go to a referendum. So why would we discriminate and say, well, a Māori ward should have to go to a referendum? The reality is, it actually, yes, it gives Māori more voice, but it doesn't give disproportionate voice. It actually corrects for the fact that, at the moment, in local government, Māori are disproportionately unrepresented. In my own area, in Upper Heart, where they have voted to establish a Māori ward, we haven't had, you know, a high level of Māori representation there the whole time that I have been alive. And it's time that we change that. And having, you know, having a Māori ward is not going to end the world for anyone. No one is going to be harmed by it. Māori will be will actually get their voice around the table.
Tēnā, onto the serious stuff. The Māori seats, I mean, Labour still maintained solid support in the party vote, but the seats went across to Party Māori. Who was responsible as the campaign manager and has he been sacked?
Hey, look, I think Willie did an outstanding job.
Oh, come on. How did he say that?
As campaign manager in the Māori seats. And he's still doing an awesome job in the caucus. It was a tough election campaign for us. But the Māori seats are interesting, you know, because they did. We won the party vote in every one of them. And we've seen cycles like this before. The first election that I voted in, 1996, New Zealand First won a clean sweep of all the Māori electorates, and then they came back to Labour the election after that.
Yep.
And then we saw the Māori Party from 2005-2008 doing really well in the Māori seats, and then they came back to Labour. We see these cycles, and you know, we'll be out there to win back the support of the Māori electorate.
Confident you can do that?
Well, we're going to have some new candidates next time around. You know, we're really sorry to lose people like Kelvin and Runo, who have been, you know, amazing for us. But there'll be new candidates next time around.
Winston?
Well, who knows what Winston's going to do? I mean, Winston Peters, he'll be around forever. I just, but
you'd hope not.
I don't know.
Has he done his dash?
I would hope so. I would hope so. But I think he'll still be around forever. But
you made a call, didn't you, Chris? You said, no, I can't work with that bloke.
No, I can't. And he's just too erratic, you know. And also his politics are quite divisive. And that's just not the style of politics that I want to be involved in, you know. Modern politics can be frustrating sometimes because there's all this pressure to be more dramatic, more extreme, more definitive. The world isn't black and white. The world is full of shades of grey. And actually, responsible politicians, we work our way through there.
And orange.
All sorts of colours. Yep. But those who basically tell you that there's a right answer and a wrong answer to every question and there are no other answers, they're just wrong. The reality is there's always options. There's always things that you can do. And I think that, you know, moving into a polarised world, you know, you look at, see this in the US, where you've got Democrats and Republicans who can't even be in the same room as each other. I don't want New Zealand politics to go down that route. I still want us to be able to sit around a table and disagree with each other and hopefully come up with something new and something different at the end of that. If we get to the point where we just all hate each other because we can't, you know, we can't see past our own views to see the views of others, then I think that'll be damaging for politics. So, yeah, and that's why I have a challenge with Winston Peters. He's very kind of straight, black and white, this is wrong, this is right. And, of course, he changes his mind all the time as well, so you never quite know where he's going to land. But I think we should be more mature in our politics than that. That Willie Jackson.
Yes, he's giving me
the whip.
He's giving me the two-minute sign. Yeah. Listen, Chris, in all seriousness, it's been neat to have you visit. You know, I've always respected your standing, your mana, and your commitment to improving the lot for wider New Zealand. So all the best with the mahi going forward. People have asked me to get an understanding of your musical tastes.
My musical tastes.
Hipkins, can you sing?
No, I can't sing.
Oh, come on.
Do you know, the thing is, I'd love to be able to play the... I admire those people who can show up at a party, pull out a guitar and, you know, and play the guitar and sing a song. So I couldn't do that. I can't play the guitar, for starters, but even if I learned, I still wouldn't be able to sing. But my musical tastes, I've got an eclectic kind of musical taste. So I like I love a good bit of 80s music. I love the Kiwi classics. I spend a lot of, you know, I still listen to a lot of the Kiwi classics. So, you know, Crowded House, Dave Dobbin, Herbs, you know, all that kind of vintage When the Cat's Away, all that vintage of Kiwi music, that was what I grew up with, and so I still listen to that quite a bit. Some more recent ones, like Golden Horse, good Kiwi band. That was sort of more my university years. Do love a good bit of Kiwi music. Love some of the classic, the old ones, Beatles, Elvis, go back to some of them, pretty good. Yeah, so... Oh, a bit of everything.
I don't think it'd be where DJ Chris has control of the decks.
Yeah, that's right.
Forget about the last one, get yourself another.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good one.
That is, too. Yeah. It's been good to meet with you. All the best with the mahi.
Yeah.
Going forward, and of course, once Sat Wati, you become one of us as well, so you're not a visitor anymore, you're part of the group.
It's always, I love the warmth here. It's been awesome. It's been, it's nice to come back and have a bit more time. Every other time I've been here, it's been sort of rush in, rush out, do whatever we need to do. But it's been nice to be here today and just being able to hang out for a bit.
So. Oh boy, been a pleasure having you visit. Thanks, Chris.
Awesome, Dave.
Kia ora.